Valley Inuit Association, and it's now being implemented. We provided a construction decision under that IABA back in December. That triggers the implementation of the agreement, and so first payments are already flowing from that agreement. We also have a compensation agreement for water use, a water compensation agreement. That's under Article 20 of the Nunavut Land Claims Agreement. That has been signed between the company and the Kivalliq Inuit Association. And while the specific terms of that agreement are confidential, what it basically compensates for is the water we use by the project, the water that flows that we alter by the project, and it includes a funding for the KAA to do monitoring of this project and our water use of this project through both the construction, the operation, closure, and into post-closure to ensure that their interests, the interests of the Inuit people, are protected. We also have a development partnership agreement with the government of Nunavut. This is just a picture recently of the signing ceremony that was held for the compensation agreement. We're very pleased that this is another milestone reached. Now, I'm going to give some quick facts about the Meadowbank project. Our project has a life of 12 years as we know it right now. We have 2 years of construction, followed by 10 years of mining. We believe that we will likely find more ore. We're very hopeful, but we can't promise that. But we think that the mine will go beyond 10 years. But with the ore we know that's there right now, we know we will operate for 10 years. The mine will consist of three open pits. This is what it would look like. This is an artist's impression. So here's one open pit. Here's the second open pit. And the third one is up in here, in this region here. At full production, which will occur 2 years from now, the project will hire 390 permanent jobs. And it's our intent to try and get as many of those jobs as we can from the local communities. And our total reserve is now at 3.5 million ounces, but we're continuing to do exploration to try and make that number grow. This is a picture of Second Portage Lake, and the Meadowbank project is right there. And I'm going to show you that this is part of the lake that we are going to use for the mine. And so I just wanted you to see a picture of what it looks like. So that picture was taken, if I was standing here, looking this way. So there's the lake that was in that picture. This slide is to basically show you where the ore is, where the gold is. The gold is expressed on surface with these red areas. Even though it's below the ground, these red areas show you where it is. And as you can see, the ore is actually in or under parts of the lake. It's on parts of the land, but it's also under parts of the lake. And so to extract that ore, to get access to it, we have to impact part of this lake, part of Second Portage Lake and part of Third Portage Lake. This arrow here is just to point out that Third Portage Lake flows into Second Portage Lake. So how do we do that? We do that by building a series of dikes. So this year, if we have our permits, we would construct this dike here and one here. And that would then open up this piece of the lake for us to take the water and pump it into here to drain this into a dry state. In 2009, we would build the dike out here to open up this entire area, to allow us to open up that entire pit. And then in 2010, we would build this dike here in order to allow us to take the water out of this portion so that this would all be dry for us to mine in. And then in 2014, we do the same with a very smaller lake up in this region here, the same kind of process to open up the three open pits. So this is what it would look like after the water's been removed and after we have mined for 10 years. You can see the water's gone from those portions, and we have opened up the earth and extracted the ore. At the end of the mine life, we will let these pits refill with water. And once everybody is satisfied that that water is sufficient or is of good quality so that it can be mixed with the lake, then we would breach the dike and allow this water to mix with the lake. This is the plant site. This is the buildings that will be built starting this summer. So this is that Portage open pit in the background. Here is the camp. This is the place where people will live that work at the site. Here is the mill building. That's the building where we extract the gold from the ore. This is the service shop where we maintain the equipment. These are storage buildings. The ore would come out of the open pit by truck and be driven up this hill and dropped through a crusher. A crusher breaks up the ore. It then is conveyed into this building here where it's stored. And then it's drawn from this building through a series of conveyors up into the mill where we extract the gold. What's very important to look at from an aspect of water licensing is what type of waste will this project generate. This is a list of the types of waste. In the next slides, I'm going to talk to each one of these in turn. The first waste product we generate is waste rock. In order to get to the ore, we have to extract the surrounding rock. And that rock doesn't contain any gold, and so by category, it's called waste rock. On a daily basis, we will generate something in the order of 60,000 tons of waste rock. Waste rock basically is the rock that doesn't contain ore, but we still must remove it in order to get access to the ore. All of the rock that we mine will be tested on site to determine whether it is ore or waste so that we can make sure it goes to the right spot. And in the waste, we further test it to make sure that it's either good waste or bad waste. And what I mean by that is some of the waste rock at this mine site, if it were left exposed to air, the contained minerals in it would oxidize, and that would release acid, which in turn would release contaminated water. So we want to stop that happening. So we manage that rock separately. And what we do is try to isolate that rock from ever seeing the air. We do that in two ways. In some of the rock, we place it under areas of water deep enough so that we know it will never see air. And that stops this process. Then the process of oxidation can't take place once it's away from air. The other rock that we can't put under the lake, we place that into an area of our waste rock dump and cover it with the good rock, the rock that does not generate acid, so that this rock that is potentially a source of contamination is buried deep in the pile and is completely isolated from the air by the fact that the permafrost moves back into it. So this is the waste rock storage area. So the waste rock that comes out of this pit here is trucked and placed on this pile here. And that pile will stay after the mine is closed. That pile is completed by the year 2012. And after 2012, the waste rock that comes from here, we put back into this hole here, because by that time, this hole is finished. The drainage from this waste rock pile is monitored and collected, and it's either placed into this pond or this pond so that we can manage it, so that it doesn't just go straight to the environment. If it's poor quality water, it will come into this area and be recycled through the mill, and it's in a closed loop, it doesn't exit. If it's good quality water, it will come into this pond and ultimately be released in a controlled fashion into Third Portage Lake. The next product of waste from the mill is what we call mill tailings. Mill tailings are ore that's been ground up and we've extracted the gold, and it's the waste, finely ground waste rock that's left after we extract the gold. Those tailings are piped from the mill and placed in a tailings impoundment, and we basically are dewatering a piece of the lake, taking the water out so that we have a hole that's basically underlain by the natural bedrock. And our tailings will be placed in that hole, and they're constrained in there by two dams, one here and one there. During the mine life, the water that comes out with the tailings is collected here and generated, goes back to the mill, and it's used again and again in the process. So it goes around a cycle, with some of it being locked up in these tailings. At the end of the mine life, the water that's left, we will transfer into the bottom of the open pits and manage that water prior to its being mixed with surrounding runoff water. The tailings themselves are allowed to freeze and are covered with a layer of waste rock